Hello and welcome to episode 60 of the Beyond the Self podcast. It is I, Africa, thrilled and overjoyed and all of the things to be here with you. As you can see by the title, this is a very curious episode, and it's one that I felt I had to sit down and record, especially after the Courage Over Conformity Weekender, which was over the weekend, just gone. I feel like I'm still processing everything that happened. And if you're thinking, what the hell was that? So Courage Over Conformity is one of the, if not the only public offer that I have in terms of a program, a course, a masterclass, anything in that realm. I am very intentional, very intentional about what I create, what I put out. I never want to waste people's time. I never want to waste people's money. I never want anything that I create to just become something that sits in someone's archive, something that just sits in someone's mind. So I like to be very intentional. So Courage Over Conformity, it's typically an 8-week program, and it's all about unraveling self-censorship. It's all about activating and liberating a voice that is uncensored, a voice that is effective, a voice that is true, a voice that can withstand the external pushback. And my goodness, this stuff is big. And I like to work with people that are willing to go there. I like to work with people that are so fucking audacious, even though they feel a little bit scared, they are willing to take emotional risks in a smart, calculated way. I work with people who are very serious about becoming better communicators, people that actually want to be effective in the world, not to just be uncensored for the sake of being uncensored. So Courage Over Conformity, I decided that I wanted to offer it as something that was not as long, but still going to have so much depth, something you can move through. So I decided to do the Weekender over 2 days, Saturday and Sunday, 2.5 hours of just very deep but clear exploration. So we did self-concept, we did visibility, reputation, crucial conversations, censor-free voice. It was so fucking good. It was so good. I'm still deciding on whether I'm going to make the replay available for purchase, because I've been getting so many emails since the weekend around it, because people that were part of the group have been sharing their experience and the feedback has just been outstanding. Anyway, I decided that I was going to talk about self-reputation in this episode because it's something that we covered over the weekend, but it's also something that is pretty much at the core of the work that I do and the message that I'm putting out into the world. I think we hang on way too much on external reputation, and I'll get into the details of that and give very clear definitions of what I'm talking about. But I'm excited. And you know what? Before we begin, I want to refer back to the very last episode, which was titled How Erotic Massages Changed My Life. That is one of the most listened to episodes I've ever recorded on this podcast, and for good reason. It was beautiful, it was juicy, it was honest, and we also honored Sinead O'Connor in the beginning of the episode before we got juicy. But I can see why it resonated with so many of you. So many of us are so curious about our pleasure, but we also feel a lot of shame attached to it. And being honest about our desires, being honest about the fact that we want to play with our shadows and our darkness and our intimacy. So I'm really not surprised that it resonated with so many people. And I wanted to read you an email that I received. I won't share the person's name, but I'm sure the person is listening to this. And I really, really want to thank you for sending this to me. So the email goes, Dear Africa, I really enjoyed listening to your latest episode of your podcast, as it truly resonated with me. And I'm grateful that you had the courage and wherewithal to broach this subject that is still taboo in polite society. Almost 2 months ago, I decided to experience a tantric massage for the first time in my life, as I was curious to explore sensuality. That turned out to be a life-changing decision. It took some time to find a professional, highly skilled and experienced female massage therapist with clear boundaries, no sex of any kind and no kissing, fitting both my personal boundaries and those of my wife. In the first session, the intensity of the sensuality was way, way beyond anything that I'd thought possible or even being capable of imagining. Profoundly mind-blowing to such an extent that I felt and still feel lost for words and accurately and comprehensively describing what I experienced. Oof! Discovering a completely new aspect of myself as a sensual being with a language I barely had a clue existed. In the second session, 2 weeks later, I was ready to submit and submerge myself into intense sensuality. I expected a similar experience as the first time, but it was even deeper and more intense than the first, exceeding my expectations by magnitudes. Ooh, I love that. Taking me to new heights of sensuality, again, beyond anything I thought possible. These sessions had life-changing, transformative impacts on me. Being somewhat overweight for years, it was uncomfortable getting naked in front of a stranger because I was so embarrassed about my body. Being shy with tendencies to introversion didn't help either. But afterwards, my self, body, image, and self-esteem was transformed. For the first time in like forever, I felt sexy, really damn sexy. Ah! I love this. Suddenly, I found myself loving being in my body. I wasn't embarrassed anymore, and I didn't care what other people thought. My confidence had gone up, my posture improved, and I felt much more relaxed and freer in social situations. I am now, more than ever, motivated and determined to take better care of my physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual health. Value myself more, dress better, look better, smell better, all because now I actually believe that I deserve it. I've also pretty much completely lost interest in porn, and I have become a much more present, attentive, and sensual lover, according to my wife. No amount of psychotherapy would have had the effect just a couple of sessions of sensual erotic massage therapy did. My wife was fine with me trying this, with the boundaries of no sex and no kisses, and is very happy with the many positive effects it has had on me. The impact and therapeutic value of sensual erotic massage cannot be overestimated. Ah, sincerely, Anonymous. I mean, this is incredible. Thank you so much for sending this to me. I remember when I opened my inbox and I saw this email, I was so, so overjoyed. I wish you could have seen the smile on my face. Just thank you. And I received so many messages that were similar to this of people that have tried it before, people that were curious, people that had never even thought about getting an erotic massage, people that are now very excited to reignite the intimacy they have with themselves, with their partner. Ah, I'm so glad I had that conversation. And also, something that I will add is that I did have a lot of people asking me to recommend the people that I have gone to and the places that I know of. But for ethical reasons, I really don't think that's a good idea. And believe me, a part of me initially thought, you know what, let me share my people because they're really fucking good. But I don't want to be tied to the experience that you have. If you end up having a really bad experience or you end up really having a good experience, I, for ethical reasons, don't want to be connected to that. And I think part of this part of the exploration is taking the time to find someone for yourself, okay? I know that can be a little bit disappointing because you just want to be told, go and see this person. This person is absolutely incredible, okay? But I really, really think the best thing that you can do is to find someone for yourself so that you are fully responsible and in charge of your own pleasure. But what I would recommend, and I recommended this to a few people, I would recommend just being very specific about what you search for so that you don't encounter really shady escort agencies and that kind of thing, because they are rife. You just have to be very intentional about what you search for and who you get into contact with. So I would recommend specifically looking for independent tantric massage practitioners in London or in New York or in Poland or wherever you're from, okay? But I would add the word independent in there because it screens out some of the agencies and you'll be, the search engine is more likely to give you independent practitioners. The word practitioner is also really important because that tends to be the word that actual professionals will use instead of just massage. Okay, so independent tantric massage practitioners in insert your location. And then I would also maybe search for bodywork practitioners, sensual bodywork practitioners, sexual bodywork. And then I would also suggest lingam massage practitioners. So lingam is the Sanskrit word for penis. So just being very specific with your search. And then you can also search for Taoist bodywork, Taoist massage, just play around with different things, but just be very, very discerning and make sure before you book someone, you ask the right questions, speak to the person, even if it's over the phone or on video or text. If it's a professional, they will not mind answering your questions or making you feel safe before you even see them, okay? But also, I make space for the fact that there might be people that don't want it to have spiritual undertones and you don't want it to feel like it's sacred. Maybe you actually just want a sensual sexual release. You can still find legitimate practitioners. I've had a session with someone and she was absolutely brilliant, where she didn't necessarily have the spiritual undertones and the traditional tantric approach. She was more about sensual pleasure, full stop. And I really enjoyed that experience. But again, I looked for independent practitioners. Okay. So I'm so glad that a lot of you are curious and a lot of you will be trying it out. Please take your pleasure into your own hands. It makes it even more fun. It makes the it just enriches the experience in a different way. So that's that in terms of referring to the previous episode. I just had to read you that email I received. It's so beautiful. It made me so happy. It affirmed so much of what I was speaking about in the previous episode. And if you haven't listened to it, go and listen to episode 59. Okay. How erotic massages changed my life. And they did. They absolutely did. Now, let's talk about self-reputation. Who are you at the mercy of? And I'll read you a quote that I wrote and shared right at the beginning of the Courage Over Conformity Weekender. The quote reads, "When you don't know what you stand for, you are at the mercy of the external world." And I'll repeat that again, just so it can really sink in. When you don't know what you stand for, you are at the mercy of the external world. So I want to give very clear definitions and sort of paint the picture of what I'm speaking about here. And I want to think of this, and I want to invite you to think of this as the duality of reputation. Let's start with external reputation. So imagine the image others hold of you in their minds. That is your external reputation. So it's like a mental portrait that other people have painted based on your actions, your words, or even rumors, okay? It doesn't even need to be things that are actually true and rooted to reality. And in our society, this reputation acts like a currency. Your external reputation is a currency. It can open doors for you professionally. It can create or dissolve relationships. It can influence how smoothly you navigate your social world. The perks are very real, okay? The perks of your external reality, if it's working for you, they are very real. Having a solid external reputation is important because it can fast track your career, it can deepen the trust in relationships, and it can amplify your social standing. But I just want you to take a moment to reflect on something. If you are constantly chasing this external validation, you're essentially handing over the paintbrush, because again, we said it's the portrait that other people paint in their minds of you. If you chase that validation, you're handing over the paintbrush of your identity to others. And I just want you to take a moment to really let that sink in. If you're constantly chasing the external validation, you're essentially handing over the paintbrush of your identity to other people. And that is very risky. Because if you make one wrong move, one misunderstanding, that portrait can quickly turn from a masterpiece into something that is less flattering. When you over-rely on that external reputation, it means that you're constantly at the mercy of other people's perceptions and their judgments. So it's as if you're building a house on shifting sands. There's nothing grounded about it. Yes, it can move us forward. Yes, it can allow us to be well connected. Yes, it can allow for people to have this perception of you that feels good, but it can also be taken away in just a moment, and that is external reputation. Now, I want you to think about how you see yourself when no one is looking. Really think about that intimate knowledge you hold about your values, about your strengths, about your flaws, the things that no one else will ever know about you. You have been with you from the very beginning, so you know everything there is to know about you. Again, your values, your strengths, your flaws, the changes you have made in your life, the thing that has brought you to where you are right now as you're listening to this. Your heartbreak, how deeply you've loved, how much you've been there for someone, how absent you were for someone else and you live in regret of that, how much you want to improve your life in different ways, how much you feel like you've failed, the things that you feel that you've won and achieved. That is your self-reputation. It's the inner narrative, okay, that dictates your confidence, your choices, and how you show up in the world. It's your anchor. Your self-reputation is your anchor. And when you understand and nurture this self-reputation, it's so fundamental because it forms the very core of your self-worth and your identity, which is why I needed to have this conversation with you. When you think of my work and everything that I'm putting out into the world, the reason why I'm so serious and fierce about this work of unraveling self-censorship, of encouraging people to be more courageous, of allowing people to think and to feel and to express as if there are no limits, all right? It's because it's your anchor, your self-reputation, how you view yourself, that can be relied on. It doesn't mean that it's perfect, but it can be relied on more than external reputation. When you're aligned with this inner compass, you move with authenticity. You're undeterred by the external world's changing winds because I promise you, those winds will always change. You know your value regardless of applause or criticism. And to me, That is true empowerment. Empowerment is a word that is used so loosely to the point where it doesn't really mean much for most people. Same goes for words like authenticity, but they mean something. They mean something. True liberation is knowing that you are still fucking valuable, that you still respect your mind, your thoughts, your expression, regardless of whether people are applauding or criticizing you. And I've really experienced this so much in my life from when I got sober, but I would say more intensely in the past 4 years when I've had to release myself from ideological capture, from just various things. And if you've been following me for long enough, you will know the very things that I'm talking about. But I really had to accept, that my reputation was going to change. I really had to accept that there were people that were just going to view me very differently once I start speaking what I know is true for me. Once I stopped lying to myself and to the people around me and to the world at large, I knew that there were people that would maybe feel that I've lost credibility in their eyes, people that maybe would feel like I've betrayed them in some kind of way, but also there'd be people that would be applauding and cheering me on and in support and feeling relief because of my words and my voice and my work. However, I'm really glad actually that even when I wrote my open letter all of those years ago, which blows my mind that it's now been 3 years, even when I wrote that and just released myself from the shackles and my, you know, my own mind prison, I made a very conscious choice to not be attached to the praise or the critiques. It doesn't mean that I won't accept or acknowledge either, but it means that I'm not going to be overly relying on it. What I can rely on and really trust is the relationship that I have with myself. It's how I feel about myself. How do I feel about me when I go to bed at night? How do I feel about me in the privacy of my own home when no one is watching? How do I feel about me when I'm walking down the street, when I'm writing, when I'm expressing myself in private? And to me, that is much, much more nourishing. It's much more rewarding. Significantly rewarding. Because it means that I'm able to appreciate people's applause and people's praise when people tell me how much my work impacts them, when people tell me they're grateful for my voice, but also when people tell me that they don't agree, or when people completely decide to misrepresent what I say or what I'm trying to do, you know, I'm not overattached to either. I was saying this in previous episodes that all of this means something, but it also means absolutely nothing. And that is so freeing. My self-reputation is so intact. Oh my goodness, it is so intact. And it hasn't just happened overnight. And it's not a one and done. It's something that I have to constantly work at. And it excites me that I get to work at it for the rest of my life. It excites me when even for a moment I become... I put a spotlight on external reputation and I allow something to penetrate me, even just for a moment. It reminds me that I'm human. It reminds me that I care. It reminds me of my vulnerabilities, you know. But just as quickly, I'm able to turn that energy and bring it back to me. My self-reputation is so intact. I'm not easily swayed by the external world. Of course, on unconscious levels, we're all swayed, whether we like it or not, you know. So many things happen outside of us that we will never be able to understand and fathom that influence our decision making, how we treat ourselves. But for the most part, the external world will never be able to influence me the way that it has in the past. And I really do have to credit my sobriety for that. And just also being ideologically sober. That helps. That helps too. So I hope those illustrations that I gave of external reputation and self-reputation can just allow for you to understand where I'm trying to go with this conversation. So let's get into the specific pitfalls of relying on external reputation alone. And I want to make it very clear that this is not about demonizing the idea of reputation or external reputation. It's important. for us to be able to navigate planet Earth, modern day society, as people that are hardwired for connection and acceptance and status, whether we like it or not, we're hardwired for these things. Making sure that our external reputation is looked after and that it's healthy is important. But a lot of it, if not all of it, is out of your control. You can only control what you put out into the world. And I say this all the time in the context of speaking bravely and using your voice and unraveling self-censorship, that you can't control how someone else receives your message. You can only control your delivery. You can only control your tone. You can only control all of those things that are within you in your internal world and your external world that you hold. You can only control that. The rest is up to the universe. The rest is up to the individual that you are communicating with, all right? Their interpretation system is not something that you can control. And I think we should all be able to get a bit of relief from that. I don't think it needs to be something we obsess over. Otherwise, we'll never be able to engage as normal human beings. And your reputation is very, very, very much like that too. So the pitfalls of relying on external reputation alone, first thing, which is pretty much what I'm talking about, is unpredictability. Society shifts from moment to moment. Something that was okay yesterday will not be okay tomorrow. You just never know. Now more than ever. Now more than ever, okay? There are constantly changes in our communities and in social group dynamics. And if you rely on external reputation alone, you will always be at the mercy of the whims and biases of other people. Always. And the reason this conversation is important is because we're constantly wading the waters of reputation, whether we realize it or not. And it's not a bad thing. It's just, it is what it is. But making some of these things conscious can offer a little bit of relief. It can also allow you to take more emotional risks and other risks, right? Depending on the context of your life and what it is you're trying to do. Second thing, the instability of validation is that external validation is so fleeting. If you try to overly protect your public image, and here's the thing, you don't have to be someone who's in the public eye. I do work very closely. Most of my clients are people that are in the public eye. So these are conversations that I'm constantly having behind the scenes because they are people that tend to be famous, people that are visible in a way that most people won't understand. I've mentioned this quite a lot of times. Their problems are very, very unique, and they're a very small percentage of people in the world, in the grand scheme of things. But now with the rise of technology and the instant access we have to thousands, hundreds and thousands, millions of people, the everyday person finds themselves in a position now where they feel like they have to be overly protective of their public image, micromanaging everything you post. The surveillance culture is getting even more intense. So I think conversations like this are not just conversations that are reserved for people that are in the public eye in the way that we're used to, you know. Validation, especially online, is something a lot of people seek now. A lot of people are just sanitizing themselves, watering themselves down, constantly afraid of saying the wrong thing, afraid that they're going to be ripped apart in the comment section, afraid that their mummy group on Facebook is going to turn on them if their child is not buckled into their seat the right way. There's so much. There's so much that is happening today in modern day society. So I think this conversation is a very important one. But seeking external validation constantly, it's such an the instability within that is so immense. Again, it just means you find yourself at the mercy of the external world. Public opinion is so fickle. It is so, so fickle. It cannot be relied on. And I know it can feel like that's where we need to be channeling our energy. And yes, there's a time and a place for it. It's something we have to consider. However, cultivating a robust self-reputation, I truly believe should be the goal for most of us, if not all of us. And this requires self-awareness. It requires self-reflection. And those two things, self-awareness and self-reflection, they sound beautiful because they are. They sound very, self-awareness and self-reflection, you know. They sound very inspiring and motivating because they are. But it's very uncomfortable and quite unnatural to be in a mode of self-reflection and self-awareness. As human beings, we're not designed in such a way where we're looking internally all the time. Our default is to externalize. Our default is to look out for danger. Our default is to notice what other people are doing wrong. We externalize. That is our default. So I'm always very... I encourage people to approach this work and these conversations from a very compassionate and gentle place, but not from a passive place. I say compassionate and graceful because it takes time. It's not a natural instinct for people to self-reflect. It's not a natural instinct to self-inquire and to self-scrutinize. It just isn't, okay? However, if you want to have a strong self-reputation, you do have to value and prioritize self-reflection. And one of the very first things I truly believe has to be a non-negotiable, you have to know what your values are. You have to know what it is you stand for. I'm going to say this again, and it's something that I always say. But if you don't know what you stand for, you will always be at the mercy of the external world. And if you haven't listened to episode 18 of this podcast, which is titled, Do You Know What You Stand For? Please go and revisit that episode because I take you through step by step how to actually identify what your values are. I know we hear that word and we sometimes tune out. It just sounds very rigid. It sounds very corporate, but it's so important. If you don't know what you stand for, I'm going to say it again, you will always find yourself at the mercy of the external world. You will find yourself crossing your own boundaries, agreeing with things you don't actually agree with, not allowing yourself to outgrow people, places, and things, having your stance and your opinion swayed by whoever is the loudest person in the room, whoever intimidates you the most, whoever has the so-called right identity. And this happens because a lot of us don't have any idea what it is we actually stand for. And sometimes we think we do, but we're operating from a very superficial place. We say we value freedom. We say we value integrity. We say we value authenticity and honesty and kindness and whatever else. But actually, these are just things we desire and aspire to value. We don't actually embody them. We're not actually operating from that place right now. We wish we did. I used to talk quite a lot about the fantasy self, and I'm going to do a complete episode on the fantasy self because I think it's such a fascinating idea. We have so many ideas about who we think we are, and actually in the Courage Over Conformity Weekender, this is exactly where we started. We dove deep into the idea of the self concept, right? How you view yourself and how you believe the world perceives you. It's pretty mind-blowing when you actually get really honest about how you view yourself, because sometimes we project positive traits onto ourselves when actually we don't practice it. We have this fantasy. And here's it, we're here to be honest, okay? We're not here to lie and to bullshit ourselves. That's the type of wishful, positive self-help that does absolutely nothing for me, the affirmation style self-help. I'm much more interested in what lies in the shadows. I'm much more interested in the places in which we're not being entirely honest about who we are, because that's when we reveal those things, then we can actually change something. So defining your personal values is huge. It's huge in the pursuit of crafting and cultivating a robust self-reputation, which is what's going to keep you anchored instead of relying for the external world to applaud you. All right? And what I also want to just bring back is to talk about the importance of balancing both worlds. Because you might be thinking, okay, so Africa, is it a choice between external or self-reputation? But the reality is they coexist. I don't want you to think that it's one or the other, okay? They coexist. You don't have to reject one for the other. You just have to strike a balance or something close to a balance. So let's just delve into that side of things a little bit deeper. And let's explore it from the angle of the benefits of having a balanced reputation approach. So let me paint another picture for you. So imagine that you're walking a tightrope, okay? Get your visualization in order, unless you're driving, all right? Unless you're driving, just listen to me. But if you're sitting down somewhere, let's get into visualization mode. Imagine that you're walking on a tightrope. And on one side, you have the world's perceptions. And then on the other side, you have your own beliefs about yourself. If you lean too much towards the world side, you are going to risk falling into the traps of constant validation seeking. You will feel unfulfilled. You will always be chasing the next approval hit. However, if you sway entirely towards self-reputation, there's a potential for becoming isolated or disconnected from social cues, which definitely happens. This is not about disconnecting from the world, about isolating yourself, about not giving a shit about what anyone thinks, which is why I cannot stand that mindset and that way of thinking. To not care what anyone thinks. It's not possible anyway. Unless you're a psychopath, it is not possible. We all care, but it's just about how much you care. We don't want to be over-attached. We don't want to over-rely. So if you sway too much towards self-reputation, there will be that potential for isolation and disconnection, and we don't want that. So what is the sweet spot? So I really believe that the sweet spot is when you integrate your understanding of how the world sees you with a rock solid foundation of who you know you are. And when you have that very balanced approach, it allows you to move with grace. Grace is very underrated. It's very, very underrated. You can still be assertive, you can still be proactive, you can still be direct, you can still move forward, you can still be in your yang and move from a place of grace, all right? You can accept external feedback when it's constructive, but you don't have to let it destabilize your core identity. So there is a sweet spot, but you can only find that sweet spot through practice and action and actually putting yourself in the arena. You have to put yourself in the arena. As Theodore Roosevelt wonderfully said, and Brené Brown also echoed his sentiments, you have to be in the arena. It doesn't just happen from listening to a podcast. It doesn't just happen from signing up to a course. It doesn't just happen from reading a book or reading an incredible mind-blowing post that gives you an aha moment. No, you have to put yourself forward and try it out. You have to get it wrong and then try again. You have to notice those moments where you're craving external validation and to know that you can still desire that and you can still get that. However, you need to have a rock solid self-reputation. You need to have a rock solid foundation. So another part of this is also understanding that this process of integration will also involve realigning after you experience setbacks, all right? Because setbacks are completely, completely normal. Setbacks are completely normal. Let's face it, regardless of how mindful or balanced you are, okay, there will be moments where your external reputation will take a hit because it's out of your control. And that's a beautiful thing, but it can also bring those uncomfortable feelings. Maybe it's a misjudgment, maybe it's an unintentional error, or even a situation where you were misrepresented. And it hurts. It's fine for it to hurt. I call it the initial ouch. It's fine for you to feel that initial ouch, but just let it be initial. Don't let it be something that consumes you and you stew in it, okay? In these moments, you will need to lean into your self-reputation. This is something I do all the time. I am very aware that the way that I speak and the work that I'm putting out into the world, even though I very rarely get any pushback, okay? And some might say it's because I'm in my own echo chambers, I just can't see it. There could be truth to that, but I'm very open. I have conversations with many, many different types of people, not even just on social media. I have conversations with people that don't quite agree with some of the thoughts that I have. I have conversations with people that don't quite understand my message, but they're trying to. They don't exactly fully resonate with everything, but they resonate with some, and they're giving it the time and space that it needs. I have people that, outside of the work that I do, we just don't agree on certain things and we can talk about it. There are many, many areas of my life where I encounter people that disagree with me and I disagree with them on certain things, but we are able to coexist, right? And then there are times where just outright, someone might completely misrepresent what I'm saying. Someone will try and put words in my mouth that I never said, maybe from a clip, maybe from a sentence, whatever it might be. In those moments, I have to lean into my self-reputation. In those moments, I have to trust my own word. In those moments, I have to be curious about whether their criticism can actually be useful. Is there something they're saying that is true, something that is worth consideration? Or is it just antagonistic for the sake of being antagonistic? Is it just someone trying to purposefully misunderstand me? For me to even ask those questions and to come to some kind of conclusion, I need to know who the fuck I am. I need to know what it is that I value. I need to know that I lead with intellectual humility, but I also have my convictions. I trust myself. I trust what comes out of my mouth because I know the filtering process that I put everything through before I even say something. I'm very intentional with my word because I know what it looks like and feels like to not be. So I take my words very seriously and I take responsibility for my words. I allow myself to change my mind and I know that I'm never going to get everything right all the time, but I trust myself and I take responsibility for my words. I take responsibility for my opinions. I take responsibility for my ideas. I'm not ashamed of them. If I've changed my mind, I've changed my mind. There's so much power in that. And I will never dismiss the value and the power that lies in that. But I can only do that because of the foundation that I have. Because of the anchor that I have. The anchor of my self-reputation. So you will have setbacks, especially if you're someone that is in that process of really being active in terms of undoing self-censorship and actually just reclaiming not even just your voice, but your entire expression, however that looks like, right? You will experience setbacks because visibility comes with more eyes. And that will come with opinions, that will come with criticism, and that's fine. You will still live. You will not die from being criticized. But sometimes there's an internal death that can happen if your self-reputation is not intact. It doesn't need to be perfect, but it needs to be something you're conscious of, something you're constantly cultivating. Let it be your safety net, okay? I want you to remember that you've built... When you cultivate a really strong, just beautiful self-reputation that you can actually lean on, think of it as a reservoir that you've built of self-belief. Because in those challenging times, it is that reservoir that is going to become the source of your resilience, okay? So take a step back if you need to, assess the situation, and then ask yourself, is this a reflection of who I truly am? And if it isn't, you can use that self-awareness to navigate the situation, respond authentically, and realign. Okay, it's not about perfection, but it's about realignment. And you can only realign when you're in a mode of self-awareness. So, external reputation, self-reputation, we need both of them, but we need that anchor of self-reputation to be very strong, very powerful, healthy, watered, fed, nourished, cultivated, looked after. Okay? Yes? Yes? Okay, good. Good. I think this has quickly become one of my favorite episodes. I can't wait to listen back to this one. I don't listen to a lot of the episodes once I've sort of channeled them and put them out, but there are some that I come back to, and I have a feeling this is going to be one of them. And if you're listening to this, maybe by the time that you're hearing this, I will have made the replay of the Courage Over Conformity Weekend available, because it was just so, it was incredible. The depth. And by the way, this was not a reintroduction or an introduction to self-censorship 101. This had so much depth. And we went into self-reputation, into visibility, into self-concept, into your sensory voice, into how to have crucial conversations, your communication style, your listening style, your posture, your body language, your facial expressions. All of this is part of communication. We went there. It is worth every shilling, every penny, every Zimbabwean dollar. Okay? And if you're someone that can afford it and you want to pay it forward for someone else, please purchase it so we can gift it to someone else, because the knowledge in this, it's exponential. And I'm so, so thrilled and so, so proud of every single person that took part, every single person that is committed to not letting it be a passive process, but to actually moving through it. And even if you just listen to this episode, I really want you to start thinking about self-reputation in a conscious way, because it's huge. It underpins everything. Usually we want to rush to the strategy. What do I say? People that work with me, typically, they want the strategy. What do I say? How do I become more confident in how I speak? How do I activate my sensory voice? But in their mind, they're thinking about the strategy. No strategy will stick. And I'm very, very fucking good at strategy. No strategy will stick if we don't have a foundation in place. If you have no idea what you stand for, if you don't know what your relationship with your self-concept is, how do you view yourself and how do you think the world views you? Why do you wear the labels that you wear in the world? What does your self-reputation look like? Which do you prioritize more, the external reputation or the reputation you have with yourself? What is your default communication style? What is your listening style? What is your posture? When you walk into a room, how do you walk into a room? What is the energy that you carry with you? What is your tone? How do you speak with your body when you speak? These are all part of it, okay? They all work together. You can't have one without the other, and you could, but for a short time. For a short time only, it will not be sustainable. So I love that I get to have these conversations with you, to dive deep with you in this way, because I'm taking my work and what I do so, so, so much deeper. I've spoken so much about what self-censorship is, you know, the surface level definitions. Now we need to go much, much deeper. And the deeper work, I tend to do it behind the scenes, but I'm really going to be bringing it to the forefront as we move forward. And I cannot wait for you to get your hands on my book, because that's where a lot of that depth is going to be. And I'm going to put it all in one place so we can continue the exploration. But in the meantime, I will let this sit with you, let it marinate, process it, revisit the erotic massage episode if you haven't already. There's so much pleasure and play in that. And I can't wait to have more of those spicy episodes. The ones that make some people think, okay, this is too much. This is too much, Africa. That's the response that I want. That's the response that I want, so that my people can find me, okay? The people that have the wild within them. But I adore you. Thank you so, so much for listening. If you're not following this podcast, please make sure that you hit follow. Leave me a review. I always value them. I appreciate them so much. And the social proof makes a huge difference. It lets people know that this is where they need to be. Okay, let me know your thoughts. Send me an email, hello@africabrooke.com. Put Beyond the Self in the subject headline, and you can put something more specific alongside it if you choose to. Send me a DM on Instagram. I'm very slow with going through messages and things because for me, there's no rush, there's no urgency. So I really don't, I might not see everything straight away, but I see everything. Okay, so please send me a message. If you've sent me one a very long time ago, feel free to resend it. Give me a nudge. And thank you so much for your time and for your attention. I really enjoyed this episode and I can't wait to hear back and to know some of your thoughts. If you're listening on Spotify, make use of the little Q&A section. It's so beautiful. And so many of you are sharing just wonderful, wonderful insights and questions on there as well. And I'm always so grateful when I see it. And yeah, we'll catch up soon. And I'm thinking of doing a live event. Okay, we'll go into that the next episode. But I really want to do an intimate live event for the podcast. It won't just be like a live podcast episode. I want to make it very interactive and to have it be masterclass style. I'm still thinking about what that will look like, where it will be, but maybe you can give me some of your thoughts. Shall we do an in-person event, a Beyond the Self in-person event, something that is a combination of a live podcast episode, but also like a masterclass, just really engaging, exciting, intimate, fun, playful, free, uncensored, completely uncensored, and just so fucking free. I want to do it. I want to be with you in person and to just hug you and spend time. So let me know if you would like that and what that could look like, and we'll do it before the year is done. And I'm sending you so much love. I cannot wait to hear your thoughts on this episode, and I will see you in the next one.